John 19, from verse 31 to verse 37. In the next discourse, I want to look from verse 38 to the end of the chapter. And these two discourses will make up a look at the burial of Christ. This is the first then, the burial of Christ, part 1, from verse 31 to verse 37. Why does John spend so long in setting out the details of Christ's burial? We have here, in verse 31 to 37, the soldiers coming to break the legs of the crucified criminals, to see to the burial and all the rest of it, to get the bodies off the cross. The Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. It's all special, the preparation day, the special Sabbath to come, and the Friday is now drawing to its close towards dusk. And at dusk, of course, at sunset, the Sabbath begins. And so there's this rush job to get the bodies off the cross. And Jesus, of course, is caught up in this. Why does John spend so long, so many verses on it? After all, the death, the actual death, you know, the it is finished, is so short, so brief, in a sense, in comparison to this. Well, this is very important material. Of course, we don't weigh the significance of doctrine by the number of words. But, of course, we are here in the realm of the historical witness. John saw what was going on here. And if you compare with other Gospels as well, Matthew 27:61, Luke 23 and verse 55, then you will see that others were there too, witnessing, proving, demonstrating, giving their evidence, their testimony, the actual death of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, of course, majors on this in his letter. He opens the first letter with the extended passage on the historical nature, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled, the witness that we are. We have seen the Lord Jesus. We have heard him. We were there. John was here at this closing episode in the life and the body of Christ after his death. This is very important, especially the Jews will attack the Russian. We have this history, this Richard John, of course, would go to us as a Jews, and the Romans, and the soldiers. We have the historical witness. Jesus was truly dead. And of course, John makes much of this also in his letters, when he speaks of the true flesh of Christ, the true body of Christ, when he runs up against the Gnostics in their denial and others who deny the actual humanity of Christ. A real man there is here who dies, and now we have his corpse on the cross. But of course also there's another thread running through this. We get it in verse 24, verse 28, verse 36, and verse 37. The fulfillment of Scripture. Whether it be gambling for the clothes of Christ in verse 24, or whether it be verse 28, Jesus knowing that all was now completed, and so that the Scripture will be fulfilled. This is what Jesus said, I am thirsty. Or whether it be verse 36, that they didn't break Jesus' legs because he was dead already. Not one of his bones will be broken. But they pierced him, and they shall look on him, the one that they have pierced. I see a footnote of my Bible here, Psalm 22, Exodus 12, Numbers 9, Psalm 34, Zechariah 12. In the majority of these cases, it's out of the hands of Christ. The gambling the piercing, the breaking of the body, bones. Why didn't they break Jesus' bones while he was dead? But why didn't they just do it without thinking? You see, Pilate has his hands here. Caiaphas, the soldiers, the Jews, they all have their hands here. But the real hands here are God's. Acts 2 and Acts 4. He is sovereignly working his purpose out here. It's human timing, of course, verse 31. It was the day of preparation, and they didn't want the bodies on the cross. It was their niceties and the law and so on. They wanted the bodies removed, but God was in it. They pierced Jesus, but not to kill him, because he was dead already. They didn't break his bones. Why not? God was sovereignly working his purpose out. And these things are vitally important. As I say, John majors on the flesh of Christ in his first two letters. The real body of Christ. The real death of Christ here. The resurrection is a reality because Christ truly died and was truly buried. As I say, the spear didn't kill him, but it pierced him. The bones were not broken because God had determined that they should not be broken. Unbeliever, when are you going to face up to all this? Are you still going to go on and talk about coincidences and conspiracies and all that kind of nonsense? My friend, you have more quotes, inverted commas, faith to deny all this than to believe some cock and bull story. The weight, the historical weight, the historical evidence for this man that he truly was the Son of God, the sinless Son of God who hung and died upon the cross, voluntarily giving himself to atone for the sins of his people, and the blood of Christ to wash those who trust him from their sins, to wash them thoroughly, to cleanse them entirely, and to present them in his righteousness faultless before God. The evidence is overwhelming. You may run from him now. You may deny him now. But I assure you, as I have many times in these discourses, one day soon you will bow the knee and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. The two malefactors were not dead, but Jesus was. For he had given up his life. It is finished, he said. And with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And all the rest now is out of his hands, as it were, but they're in the hands of God. Brother and sister, we have a reliable Bible. We have a real man who is our Savior. He really died for us. He really was buried. And as we shall see, he is truly raised. And he will come again. The scriptures are reliable. Every promise, every prophecy will be fulfilled. God will maintain his word through all the changing circumstances of life. Soldiers, Jews, with their niceties and their wishes and wants and desires. The soldiers with their carnality. The rulers, they're all doing the sovereign will of God. Oh, praise God's name. Thank him. His word is reliable. He's still working his purposes out. And all these purposes center on Christ for the glory of God and our good brother and sister. Unbeliever, come to Christ. Dear saint of God, let us go on trusting, praising, worshipping the God who arranges all this and our Savior who went through all this, this humiliation, this suffering for our everlasting salvation. Praise God. Jesus came into the world, lived, died, and was buried. And I cannot but add, was raised in glory and will come again. Praise his name. And it was all for his people, for the praise of his Father, the glory of his Father, and for our everlasting good, brother and sister. Let us go on today, rejoicing in our Jesus.